Okay, good evening, everyone. It is such a pleasure, a zechus, to be here learning together. Please continue to take food and drink during the shir. Please refill the plate. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. We will feed you the Torah and the kemach. So please enjoy. We see some new faces here. Welcome to Thursday Night Live. I do want to give a very special shout out to Barry Siegel, who's back from Eretz Yisrael, who is back and better than ever. Barry's been a mainstay at Thursday Night Live, and just about every other shir, it hasn't been the same without him, and we are very appreciative that he's here for tonight's shir. Tonight we're going to learn talk about Hagba. We're going to talk about Hagba, both for the one doing the Hagba and for the rest of the tzibur. And this has been on my mind for a while, for three reasons. Number one, if you see the picture that's on the front, which is a picture that I also had on the flyer, this picture was taken in, you can see, the White House, Washington, right in front of the White House. This is on the day of the rally. What was that, November? What was the date? I don't even remember now. November 10th, November 14th, that day. It was actually put together by a dear friend of mine from Englewood, Nader Balur, a father of one of my students who I'm very close with. He has every Rosh Chodesh a minyan, a musical shacharis, a musical halal, the big breakfast afterwards. And that day, if you remember, was Rosh Chodesh. That day was Rosh Chodesh. So right when they saw the date, they were able to get a permit, and they had a vasikin, always. They had a vasikin, sunrise minyan, right outside of the White House. Barry Weber was there. He sang halal. It was quite a scene. And someone captured this picture. He sent me, like, I asked him for the best picture, like 15 or 20 beautiful pictures of the Torah going up by the White House. It was something very beautiful, especially when you contrast that to some of the things that go on the pro-Palestinian rallies. It was a very beautiful picture. So it was a little bit on my mind then. Then I gave a shir on two brothers doing Hagba and Glila. So again, I saw some things on Hagba that were on my mind. And finally, and I have a confession to make. I've never done Hagba my whole life.
What?
Never done Hagba my whole life. Maybe it's because the Gabbai is a bum. I think when I was, maybe when I was in elementary school, I was very self-conscious about how weak I was. Maybe that's what it was. And then, like, once I didn't do it, I was always, like, scared to do it the first time because, like, you can't, like, practice it yourself. And what happens if you drop it? I've never done Hagba. Don't ask me to do Hagba the Shabbos Michi. He's going to call me up. And I've never done Hagba, and I've always been interested by Hagba. I thought we'd learn the topic. It's I think, fascinating. I'll tell you some of the things we're not going to talk about tonight, which maybe is of the most interest to you, which we'll get to Be'ezrat Hashem, the next shir. We're not going to talk about pointing and why people point. Should we point? Which finger to use to point? Is that a myth? Is that real? Is that rooted in halacha or minhag? We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about looking. You see some people get very close and they want to see some of the words. We might touch on that a little bit, but that's a great topic for the next year in Mirtz Hashem. Vizos HaTorah, the pasuk that people say, which actually that's not the pasuk, which is part of the problem and the discussion. So hopefully we'll talk about that the next time. And we'll touch a little bit today on women and Hagba. Not women doing Hagba, don't get excited, but women seeing Hagba and the role, how important it is for them to see Hagba. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit at the end. I want to understand Hagba because you see some fascinating things. One year on Simchas Torah, in the yeshiva of Kol Torah in Yerushalayim, that was the yeshiva of the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So on Simchas Torah, which kibud, which honor does he get? The Rosh Yeshiva. It's Simchas Torah. Michi? Chasen Torah. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman is Chasen Torah. Then the Gabbai is getting ready to call up Hagba. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, I want to do Hagba. Now Rosh Shlomo Zalman did not ask for a kibud. He did not care about kavod, about honor. But he says to the Gabbai, I want Hagba this year. He said, Hagba is the greatest kibud. Since I became the Rosh Yeshiva, they never give me Hagba, right? I'm the rabbi here, assistant rabbi, now rabbi for over 7 years. I've gotten more aliyahs in the last 7 years that I did the previous 17 years. And I never, haven't, no one's asked me to do Hagba or Psicha or Glila, and I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay without the Aliyahs also. Rishon Lezion said Hag was the greatest Aliyah I want to do. Aliyah. I want to do Hagba. Okay, there's one problem. What do we do on some story with the Hagba? Reverse the whole, that's, there are very few times you could do real macho Judaism. Hagba, and especially Hagba and Simchas Torah, that's your time to show off your Judaism. What are the other big macho Judaisms? Show off Judaism? Purim, which part? How much you can drink? No? Asaras Pinhaman in one breath, if you could pull that off. Tekiah Gedola. If you could pull off the Tekiah Gedola, how long to get the car, the crowd is the murmuring. The Hagba, if someone's Zama can't do the reverse Hagba, he was in his 80s. So he did it with... He did Shalshel, very good. He did it with...
Maligo.
What?
Maligo.
Okay, well... Mehera Yibana based on Mikdash. So if someone's Zama did it, and he didn't do the reverse, Hagba. Okay, that's not the biggest deal. If someone's Zama held, it's of the greatest Kibudim. And it's actually rooted over here. If you take a look at source number 2, the Shulchan Aruch. This is a halakhic work. In source number 2, and you have the English underneath. The Shulchan Aruch rules, Gadol Sheba'osam Shekaru B'Torah Golo. Here, Golo does not refer to Glila. It refers to our Hagba, which we'll talk about where that comes from in a minute. The Gadol, the greatest of those who read the Torah, meaning the greatest of the 7 Aliyos, if it's a Shabbos, 3 Aliyos if it's a weekday, he should do Hagba. The Regilim Liknoso Bidamim Yikarim. The custom was to purchase. It's not a new thing selling the Kibudim. They would purchase Hagba for a lot of money. Damim Yikar, very expensive. What went for the most amount of money was the Hagba. L'chabev ha-mitzvah. To show how precious the mitzvah is. So the Gadol, the greatest one of those who read the Torah, should get it. And they would spend money. The Magen Avraham explains that even though the greatest one should be the one to get it, it's so special, we want to give people the opportunity to buy it. The poskim debate whether it means greatest of the 7 who read or just the greatest person in the room. The Magen Avraham rules, and the Aruch HaShulchan paskins this way in source number 6. Take a look at source number 6. The Yesh poskim da gadol shebe beis hakneses as golel. The greatest in the shul does the glil of a hagba. Afal pi shelo kori b'torah. Even though he didn't get an aliyah. V'chein pasak agra. V'chein pashar amina kayom. She'ein mechapsin achar mi shekar b'torah. We don't try to find the best of the ones who got the aliyah. The biggest Talmud Chacham, the biggest tzaddik in the shul, he should get hagba.
Is there another synonym for the word greatest here?
Gadol. Gadol means, it doesn't mean the guy with the biggest muscles, if that's what you're asking. It means the Gadol. Who's the Gadol? I mean, I don't know how you do a test. There's, for us, it'd be easy. It would be Rabbi Luban would be getting Hagba every single week. Now, why don't...
I don't think he's ever going to Hagba.
Okay, so now why don't we do this? Michi's the Gabbai. I don't know if any other Gabbai are here. Hagba? Every week. Every Shabbos morning? Unbelievable. Well, does he get an Aliyah every week? No, unbelievable. So the Machas HaShekel, the next source, Michi, you better read this. Im Kain, Shelo Kedin, Osim HaGabayim. Gabayim are doing the wrong thing. Ki Lipa'amim, Lo Nimtza V'Beis HaKnesesh, Mishakan HaGlila. Sometimes they didn't sell it. V'Gabayim, Mechabdin L'Hayashar B'Nehem. The Gabayim gives to whoever he wants, whoever he sees fit. The royal Gabayim, Lechabdin L'Gadol. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Gabayim are acting against the halacha. Unbelievable. I didn't know this halacha. Preparing for this for this year. Probably because every shul I've been in gave the Hagba to whomever. So the Mishnah Berurah points out.
Unless you went to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, that's usually where they...
Give it to the Rabbanim?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So the Mishnah Berurah says in the next page, relax, Michi. V'zeh me'ikar adin, source 8, the top page 3. That's me'ikar adin. V'achshav nagu shalol adaktik b'zeh. Nowadays, we're not careful about this. Why? We give even regular people. Mishum darkei shalom. It's going to lead to fights. It's going to lead to fights. Everything leads to fights. But it's going to lead to fights. Because let's assume our Lubin's not there. Okay, he's the clear gadol. You have a shul, the 8 o'clock minyan in the morning. What, he's the gadol? He gets hagged every week? He's not prettier than me. What? He comes to shul 5 minutes late. He talks lashon hara. I do the daf every day. I'm on the board. They're going to be fights. They're going to break out. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I think there's something very powerful here. Better to, so to speak, go against the halacha or not fulfill the halacha in the greatest way for purposes of peace, to avoid machlokas. But he does say, and Michi, I don't know if this is your practice, vim yesh shnei yurtzeit biyom echad. What do you do if there are two yurtzeits on a Monday, Thursday, and they're both Yisraelim? The echad ala Torah, you give one aliyah, then yesh l'chabed hasheni b'hagba. You should give the other one. It's a chashuv kibud. Give him, if you sometimes the yurtzeit, you might have a two kohanim who have yurtzeit, or two yisraelim, so give it to, give him hagba. What you see, well, who gets the aliyah and who gets the, all right. What you see though, and this is what I'm trying to highlight, is that hagba is a really big deal. You don't have that halacha in a lot of other areas that we specifically give it to the gadol and that we sell it and you should buy it for a lot of money. It always amazes me on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and on Simchas Torah where aliyahs go for 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 times more than hagba. Hagba's a bargain. Hagba's a bargain. It's the greatest of the kibudim. And usually, a hagba glila together might go for $500, $600 when aliyahs are going for $1,800. Hagba's much more chashuv. I actually want to put together a whole color brochure for all the kibudim with like the sources and the segulas involved with each kibud. It's like a dream.
Rabbi, you're going to take away the big money for them.
You should buy all of them for a lot of money. But hagba is the greatest, and I want to understand why that is. I don't know. Probably the parsha is more important than Haftorah, but I'm not sure. But why? Why is Hagba? What's so special? So this comes from a Gemara in Source 10. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Sheftaya, Amar Rav Yochanan, Asar Shekar B'Torah, Hagadol Shebehem Golol Sefer Torah. The greatest among them is Golol, rolls or brings together the Sefer Torah. Hagolel notel schar kulan. The one who does the golel, which we'll talk about exactly what that means, gets schar for all of them. The Gemara quotes the same thing in the name of Yeshua and Levi. Asar shakar b'torah, golel sefer Torah, kibel schar kulan. Asks the Gemara, schar kulan salgadaydech? He gets everyone's reward? That doesn't make sense. Ela'ema, rather, you should say, kibel schar keneged kulan. He gets reward, which is equivalent to the reward of all the people who read in the Torah. So the one who does a hagba is equal. His schar, his reward, is equal to the reward of all the people who are reading from the Torah, which is incredible. Well, I would say you're reading from the Torah. You're doing the mitzvah of limud Torah, of teaching Torah to the public. That should be greater. But the hagba is as great as all the aliyahs put together. Why?
This is the same as the first one who comes early to shul.
Get schar for the 10 people. That I understand, because without the 10 people at the minyan, the other people, you don't have a minyan. So I understand. They're creating a possibility for everyone to daven with tefillah b'tzibur. But okay, hagbos, it's a good thing. It's nice, but why so great? So let's take a step back and understand which hagbos we're talking about. The Shulchan Aruch that quotes this halacha is in Simon Kuf Mem Zayin, which is the very end of the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah of Laning. And the Shulchan Aruch, which we read before, says, Gadol Sheba Osam Shekar B'Torah, Golo. The greatest wrap rolls the Torah. V'regidim Liknos B'dam Yekarim. They used to buy it for a lot of money. L'chaviv HaMitzvah. Doesn't tell you what it is. Much earlier in Simon Kuf Lamed Dalad, this is the halachos of taking out the Torah. Before any of the halachas of laning, of aliyahs, the next halacha after Tachanun, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Source 12, Mare Pnei Ksiva Sefer Torah La'am Ha'omdim L'Yamino U'L'Smo. The person should show the Torah, the letters, to the nation, to his right and to his left. U'machziro L'Fanav U'Achrav. He shows in front of him and behind him. Shemitzvah Kol Anoshim V'Noshim. We'll come back to this. There's a mitzvah for all men and women, Liros Haksav, to see the Torah. As a mitzvah to read the Torah, I understand. There's a mitzvah for everyone, men and women equally, to see the ksav, the lechroa, to bow down, the lomar, to say the zosa Torah. That's the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that hagba is done before laning. Anyone ever see that? Sfardim, Chasidim, Nusach Sfard. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah then says, v'nagu lasos kein, achar shekar b'torah. The Ramah says, no, but our minhag is that we do it after the Torah. So by the Svardim, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Chasidim do this, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, and the Beis Medrash, the Chasidim, they would do this, they would pick up the Torah before, show everyone what we're about to do, okay? And then after laying was done, you would go well. But our minhag is we wait everything until after. Why do we make that switch? Oh, so actually the opposite. Opposite perspective. The Kaf HaChaim says something interesting. People thought that Hagba was so important, they would come to see the Sefer Torah, and then they would bounce. They would leave. People would come. They thought that seeing the Torah was more important than hearing the Torah, which, by the way, it's not crazy to think that if the Gemara says that Hagba gets schar, equivalent to all the people who get called up to the Torah, so they would leave. So the Ramah said, okay, we got a problem. No one's here to hear laning. Laning is more important. So what do? Wait, push Hagbo off until after laning. They're going to be there for laning. Okay, they'll bounce after laning. They'll skip Ashrei. You know, not the end of the... I'm not advocating you do that. But not... Okay, don't get any ideas. It's been... Okay. Good, so we'll come back. So again, the Svardim, the Hagba beforehand, and they have a Golel, but by the Ashkenazim, the Hagba, and this is what the Mefarshim all say, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, the Hagba, the Golel that Gemara is talking about is afterwards, it's the picking up of the Torah and showing it to everybody, because there's a mitzvah for everyone to see the Torah. Great. But I still don't understand why that's so important. Why is that? It's a nice thing. So important that women have to? First of all, are women even obligated in hearing laning? Most say not. So if they're not obligated to hear laning, there's a mitzvah for them to see the Torah? And it's the schar, the reward, is greater than reading from the Torah? It's the greatest of all the kibbutzim going for the most amount of money. How does that make sense? Where does it come from? So I found the Ramban. I shared this with a bunch of Talmidei Chacham and friends. They haven't seen this Ramban. They were shocked by this Ramban. I want to learn this Ramban together. It's astonishing. Okay, let's learn a little bit of Chumash. In Parshas Kisavo, in Source 15, I give you one pasuk. You have what's called the klalos, the curses. There are something like 22 pasukim maybe. I don't know if that's exactly correct, of curses. Some of the worst curses for some of the worst sins that a person could do. Arur asher this, the Gilur Araya, the worst sins, there's curses. The last pasuk in all the klalos is over here in Source 15. It's a very seemingly generic and ambiguous curse. Arur, and I'm sorry I didn't put it here in English. Arur asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos la'asos osam. Cursed is the one who doesn't yakim, uphold or stand up the words of the Torah to do them. Now, what does that mean? You have every curse, I apologize, every curse here is a specific curse for a specific sin. Then, all of a sudden, you have this rather generic pasuk, which we don't know exactly what it means. What is this? Or I'll tell you some of them. Cursed is the man who degrades his mother and father. Cursed is the man who moves the boundary of his fellow. Cursed is one who caused a blind person to go astray. Cursed is one who perverts the judgment of an orphan or a widow. Cursed is one who lies with the wife of his father. Cursed is the one who lies with any animal. Okay, these are bad, bad, bad sins. And then, Ara Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Hazos. What's that referring to? Cursed is one who doesn't uphold or stand up for the Torah. We just listed specific sins. So Rashi says in Source 16, Kan Kalal is Kol Torah Kula. You know what? You're right. Not just the ones that are listed. Everything. Everything. Every sin in the Torah, if you don't do, there's a curse. Rashi's difficult because then why did the Torah need to specify those specific and those specific curses? Okay. The Or HaChaim in Surah 17 says, Perush, the end of the line, Yakim bilibo advarim lasosam kishatasig yado. The curse is for one who doesn't want to do all them. Some mitzvos or some sins, they're not relevant to us yet. Or we're not ready for them yet. But we have to have it in our heart that when the opportunity arises, or when we're ready for it, then we're going to be able to keep it. Yakim in plural. We should want to keep it down the line. Comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban tells you an idea based on pshat. And then the Ramban says as follows. Turn to the top of page 5, and I want to read this together. The Amr al Derech Agada. Again, I should have put the English in, and I apologize for that. The Amr al Derech Agada. Derech Agada means it's not pshat, but it's we can learn from the psukim. Zeh Chazan. It's referring to the Chazan. Now, the Chazan doesn't mean the cantor. The Chazan refers to the one who did the performances in shul. Zeh Chazan. She'eno mekim sifrei Torah. Lahamidan kisiknan shol yiplu. It's the one who doesn't put the Torahs there properly so that they don't fall. Make sure they're on a good bima, or make sure they're in the Arun Kodesh in a spot where they're not going to fall. V'li nira, says the Ramban, but it appears to me, al achazin she'eno mekim sefer Torah al hatzibor laharos pneik sivasalakol. It's referring to the one who does hagba, who doesn't show the Sefer Torah to everybody. Aur asher lo yakim es divrei HaTorah. Cursed is the one who's not makim, who doesn't stand up the Torah. Yakum, come, stand up. Cursed is the one, the aur in the Torah. The aur in the Torah next to the one who lies with the wife of his father, or perverts the judgment of the orphan and the widow, who does all these terrible things. On that list, says the Ramban, it's not referring to the generic keep the whole Torah, commit to keeping the whole Torah. It's referring to the guy who does Hagba. Kemosh Mefurish Meseches Sofrim. The idea of Hagba is explicitly found in Meseches Sofrim. Shemagbiyin Oso, you lift up the Torah. Umare Pneik Sivaso La'am Ha'omdim Li'imino L'smolo. And you show the Torah to the nation standing to your right and to the left. Umachziro lefan of l'achrav, and you turn it to in front of you and behind you. Shemitzvah lechol anashim v'anashim liros haksav. The Ramban says there's a curse in the Torah for a person who does not do hagba properly. Does not do hagba. I think that's where these sources are coming from. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that this din of hagba is karov l'daraisa. It's not a real mitzvah daraisa because it's an agada, But it's close to being a mitzvah d'oraisa. Others disagree, and they say it's a d'rabbanan. There's an allusion, a hint in the pasuk. It's called an asmachta. The Chassam Sofer says it's karov. It's close to being a d'oraisa. There is a curse. Can you imagine that? Ask people the 100 worst things a Jew could do. 100 worst things that you deserve a curse for. Most of them will be on this list. Yeah, the one who doesn't do hagba.
Doesn't do it correctly.
It sounds like Eino make him safer Torah alat sibur laharos predicts vassal lakol. That could mean he doesn't do it at all, or it could mean he does it but not for everyone to see. I'm not sure exactly, but there was a tshuva written in the Birka Yosef quotes this. There was a community that they didn't want to do hagba. And people said it's against the Ramban, you're going to get cursed. So he says, first of all, the Ramban, and also there.
You can't argue with that.
No, it's. But what I mean is that it's not. It's a divrei agada. I'm not minimizing. It's a Ramban. It's a Ramban based on a pasuk. But it's divrei agada. But also there, he said that they didn't have anyone strong enough. So better not to do a hagba and risk it falling on the floor. But it's. If you think about it, and I Matt was supposed to come tonight because of the topic, but he's visiting his mother. He's not well. Shavu for Shalema. It's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. Yeah, it's a very nice thing. Everyone gets to see this, the Torah, but there's a curse, there's an error. So that's what I want to understand. We can come back to it in a minute. I think everything we said until now, in my opinion, is really coming from the way the Ramban learns his pasuk. It makes sense that it's the greatest char. If there's a klala, a curse for not doing it, midatova maruba, the reward is always greater than the punishment. So if the punishment is so severe, that reflects a certain importance, and therefore there should be a great reward. It makes sense to buy it for a lot of money if it's the opposite of a curse. But the Ramban itself requires an explanation. Why? Why is there a curse for not doing Hagba? And why is it important for everyone to see it? Everyone. The Kol Ha'am, even the woman who might not be obligated in laning and hearing Kriyas HaTorah. Unbelievable. They're coming to shul. They're coming to shul for Hagba. They're coming to shul for Hagba. Why? Keith, what do you got for me?
Whenever folks do Hagba, they've done it so many different ways to get everyone to see it. It's not always done. That's number one. Number two, a Sephardi Torah, there's very little that's shown. Would that mean that in the Ashkenaz method or the Ashkenaz Torah has more value because more of it's...
Right, so let me... You're asking two excellent questions. First question of not everyone shows it to everybody. You're right. My point is not to criticize, but to suggest the Gabayim, and I think they do.
We do.
They tell the person before they do Hagwa, please do a full 360 so everyone can see, because there's people on the right, left, in front of you, behind you. 100% we should. And we'll talk next week about doing that first circle. It doesn't matter which way you go. But yeah, it should be that everyone can see. Now, there are going to be huge shuls where it's going to be impossible for everyone to see the letters, but to see the scroll, the cloth, you could. You're raising an excellent point about the Sephardi Sefer Torah, which is you can't stretch it out as wide because of the heaviness, the bulk. I don't have a good answer to that question. I don't have a good answer. I mean, they could see it. They can still see it. You can still see it. You can't.
Sephardi shuls where they literally just take it around the whole bima and then they sit.
Really?
And then they put it back. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Sephardi Torah is a big boy.
Yeah. So
I can tell you from experience, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, literally you walk around the entire shul with Torah. Hagba is very different.
Wow. Beautiful. There you go. They're bothered by what you're bothered by, and they fix it by walking. So I like to suggest, three approaches to this. Two that I saw, and one of my own. The Aruch HaShulchan offers something very pragmatic, which I think falls a little bit short. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's on the bottom two lines in source 21, the Efshur, it's possible, he doesn't quote the Ramban, but he's talking about why it's so incredibly chashuv hagba. Mishum dehu eino meiniach shetehei sefer Torah psucha achar akriya. What's going to happen if there's no Hagba? You're going to leave the Sefer Torah on the Shulchan? You're just going to leave it there? It's going to be a line. The Sefer Torah, the most important thing that we have, our most prized possession, it's just going to be left there, open? That's degrading to the Torah. So the one who does Hagba is the one. It's not about the lifting it. It's about the putting it away, attending to it, to make sure it's put away and taken care of properly. It's very difficult because the whole point is that you're Mara. You show the Torah to everyone. It sounds that the value in Hagba is not just that you're picking it up so you can roll it and put the thing around it and the cover on. It sounds like it's a lot more than that. Agreed?
It's hard in the beginning. That doesn't answer that.
Well, he's saying according to the Ashkenazim. He's saying according to, right. So that's one. Approach two I saw, and I think this is amazing. Amazing, and it changed my perspective today. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, who we've quoted many times, amazing. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, his life story, we could spend days of the most inspiring people of our time. He lost his wife and 11 children, I believe. If I'm getting that number wrong, correct me. Right. Were killed in the Holocaust. He survived. He lost his family, his whole extended family, his wife and children. That his whole community, Hasidus, was destroyed. And he came back and he rebuilt his Hasidus. And he eventually made Aliyah with his community, opened Laniato Hospital in Netanya. I mean, if you haven't read the books, I highly encourage you to read the 2-volume biography of the Kloisenberger Rebbe, the war years and the rebuilding years. Unbelievable. He says something so beautiful. He says, especially for us Ashkenazim who are doing Hagba afterwards, let's be honest, we're not always conducting ourselves with proper deference and respect to the Torah. Often in laning, myself included, we might talk. We might talk during laning. The Torah is out. Moshe Emes v'Saraso Emes, our guiding light. We might talk. We might turn our back to the Torah. We might walk out. We might learn other things. We might read the announcements. We might have mistreated the Torah. So after that's done, we get up. We see the Torah and we say, Zos HaTorah Asher Sa Moshe. Moshe Emes V'Sor Torah Hashem Tamima. The Torah is beautiful. Meaning, you know what? I might have not acted properly. I might have mistreated it wrong. But I believe in this. Don't let my conduct or my misbehavior during laning mean that I don't really value or respect the Torah. I love you. Torah, this is amazing. Let everyone in the room see the Torah and say, okay, that was not good. God, I'm sorry. This is real. I really love this. I love this. You know, honey, I didn't wash the dishes last night. I didn't properly take care of it. I didn't get you flowers. But I love you. God, Torah, I might have mistreated you. But still, everyone look at the Torah and proclaim, Zos HaTorah Asher Sa Moshe. Torah Hashem Temima Meshivas Nafesh. The Torah is beautiful. It's almost like It's a reaffirmation. It's a statement of belief after I mistreated it. That's the Kloisenberger Rebbe. I thought it's very beautiful. I want to suggest a third shot, and we'll close with this. This is my own explanation that we could keep the Torah, we could read the Torah, we could study the Torah, but not have a sense of pride in the Torah. We do it because we have to. We do it because we were born into it. We do it because we're part of a community. I mean, there are many reasons. You know, we do it because there's l'chaims and chalent afterwards downstairs. It's a social club. There's a lot of reasons. It's an intellectual pursuit. There's a lot of reasons we might learn the Torah without really feeling its value. So when we're done with the Torah, we show it off, basically. Lahavdil, and it's a little bit of a, maybe a, not immature, but maybe a little bit of a superficial muscle. You pick up the Stanley Cup. You watch from team Lahavil many times. I don't want lightning to strike. The team wins the cup, and Mehera, you know, should be the Rangers. But the team wins the cup. They don't just like take it. They don't just thank you. What do they do when they get it? You lift it over your head. You kiss it. You cherish it. You're so excited. You didn't say, okay, you won, good, you won. No, you're so excited. So Hagba is our chance, the one who lifts it, but for all of us also to just be so, look what we have. We came to shul, not just for the Kiddush, and not just for the rabbi's drasha, that's really why we came to shul. We came because this is our life. There's nothing more important. This is what is driving us. This is why we live. This is why we sacrifice. This is what we're about. Zos HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe. This is it. Torah Hashem Tamima. It's an opportunity to not show off in a bad way, but to show off our pride in the Sefer Torah and let every single person see it. It's not about the mitzvah. So yes, women might be exempt in Kriyas HaTorah. They might not have to come hear the Torah, but the Torah being the primary focus of their life, it being their driving force, their guiding light, and what we live for. So even if you're not chayav, even if you're not obligated to hear the Torah, you need that pride and that excitement. Maybe that's why there's a curse if you don't do that. Because if you don't do that, what is it? It's just something you do. It's an exercise. It's an intellectual pursuit. No. It's a klala. There's a curse if you don't do that because you're showing this is not. It's not important. Yeah, you did it. Okay, you're done. You read the Torah. You put it away. Goodbye. Shalom Yisrael. Fine. You know, please at the end of davening, put the chumashim back on the shelves and take your announcements and throw them in the garbage. Yeah, put the Torah back. No. Zos HaTorah. We should be so excited. And I was thinking that today. It changed my perspective in shul during my Hagbah. I looked at the Torah. I said, "This. How lucky are we? We have a Torah that's driving us." And there was an excitement. I walked out of shul proud and excited that we have a Torah in our life. And maybe that's the idea of Hagbah. It's to show excitement. It's to show pride to everyone. Men, women, and children should see the Torah and recognize what it's about. If that's the idea, who wouldn't want to spend a ton of money on that? The Gadol, the greatest one, should have that honor because he's the one that's most excited and proud of it. And I think we can understand also why there's a klala, a curse, if we don't fulfill it. So Michi, the pressure is on to get a great Hagbah this Shabbos, a great Hagbah. If Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is here, you could give it to him, and we should, you know, Shabbos and every other time. There's Hagbah, whether it goes to the Gadol or not, like apparently does happen in certain shuls here and yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, or Michi goes like the Mishnah Brura and decides to give it to whomever is Yashar Be'enav to avoid Machlokes, but it's for everyone to see and to fill our lives with such excitement over the Torah. And hopefully, if that's true, we'll feel Zos HaTorah and Torah Hashem Tamima. We'll daven Ma'ariv in 2 minutes.